Chapter 6. Learning to Fly. In November 1939, the war was 2 months old. I wanted to help fight against Hitler, and the shell company allowed me to leave my job. Wonderfully, they agreed to keep paying me every month. It did not matter where I was in the world. I thanked them very much and got into my very old little car and made the 600-mile journey from Dar es Salaam to Nairobi. I wanted to be a pilot. I drove straight to the RAF base. First, I was checked by an RAF doctor.
"You're very tall for the RAF," said the doctor.
"Yes," I replied. "I'm almost 2 meters tall."
"That's not good for a pilot," he said.
"Does that mean that you can't pass me?"
"Hmm," he said. "My orders don't say how tall you must be, so I can pass you to fly."
There were 16 of us who were learning to fly. Everyone was a young Englishman who worked in Africa like me. We trained for 6 months and then we were sent to different countries. Sadly, I know now that in the next 2 years, 13 of those 16 men were killed. We learned to fly little planes called Tiger Moths. They were easy to fly, but they were not very strong in battle. My first time in a Tiger Moth, the teacher said,
"You are too tall. Are you sure you want to do this?"
"Yes, please," I said, but it was very uncomfortable. Every day, we got up at 5:30 a.m., exercised until 7 a.m., then had breakfast. Then we had lessons in the air and on the ground until 6 p.m., with an hour for lunch. I went solo after 7 hours and 40 minutes. Going solo means flying a plane on your own without a teacher. How lucky I was to fly through the sky over a country as beautiful as Kenya. I saw African animals like lions, the great Lake Nakuru, and the snowy top of Mount Kenya. After 8 weeks in Nairobi, we travelled by train to Kampala in Uganda, then on to Cairo. From Cairo, we went on a very old plane to Habaniya in Iraq, which is 100 miles south of Baghdad. Habaniya was a huge RAF base in the middle of the hot desert, miles from anywhere. And it was my home for 6 months, from the 20th of February until the 20th of August 1940. Thousands of men lived there, and it had streets named after famous roads in London, like Regent Street and Tottenham Court Road. In this hot, horrible place, we flew planes that were stronger and faster than the Tiger Moths, and we practiced shooting their guns. Our training in Iraq was only for 6 months, and then we were all sent to different parts of the world. I found myself at a large RAF base on the Suez Canal called Ismailia. My orders were to join 80 Squadron, who were fighting against the Italians in Libya in planes called Gladiators. The Gladiator was a very old plane. At Ismailia, a man pointed to a Gladiator and said, "That is yours. You'll fly it to your squadron tomorrow." "Who will teach me how to fly it?" I asked, very worried.
"Don't be stupid. How can anyone teach you? There's only one seat. Just get in it and you'll learn. You should practice, because soon you'll be in the air with clever little Italians shooting at you.
I remember thinking at the time that this was surely not the right way of doing things. The RAF spent 8 months and lots of money teaching me to fly. Suddenly, that was the end of it all, and I was not ready. On the 19th of September 1940, I climbed into my Gladiator plane and took off to join 80 Squadron in the Western Desert in Libya. This was my first time over enemy ground and my longest journey. Plus, I did not really know how to fly a Gladiator. The man at the base looked at my map and showed me where I had to go. 80 Squadron are now there, the man said, pointing to a place 30 miles south of a small town called Mersa Matru.
Will they be easy to see? I asked him. You can't miss them, he said. You'll see the tents and 15 gladiators in the desert.
I arrived at the place on the map, but 80 Squadron were not there. I flew north, south, east and west, but I could not see any tents or any planes. There was just sandy desert, full of dangerous rocks. It was getting dark and my fuel was low. The only thing I could do was to land in the desert, and I had to do it quickly. I looked for a place that did not have any rocks. I could not find one, but I had to get down. My wheels touched the ground, and I hoped to be lucky, but I was not. The plane hit a rock at 75 miles an hour. For a few moments, I knew nothing. Then I woke up and heard the fuel explode. I knew that I had to get out of the plane, but I only wanted to sleep. I do not know how I did it, but I got myself out and fell headfirst onto the sand below. I was not afraid. I only felt tired. I wanted to lie there and sleep, but the fire pushed me on. It was so hot, I had to move or be cooked. Very slowly, I pulled myself away from the plane. I heard the bullets from my machine gun exploding everywhere, but again, I did not care. I only thought about escaping from the fire. Finally, I reached some cold sand and fell asleep. Later, I discovered that 80 Squadron never were in that place. They were 50 miles to the south. I was sent to a narrow piece of land in between the British and the Italian armies. Both sides saw the fire from my plane. When the fire stopped, three brave British men came and found me. They were very surprised that I was not dead. I was taken to Alexandria in Egypt, where I was in hospital for 5 months. My head was badly hurt and I could not see anything. I'm going to give you a lovely new nose, the doctor said, touching me on the shoulder. You want to have something nice to look at when you open your eyes again, don't you? For many weeks, I lay on my back and did nothing. Every day, for about an hour, a nurse cleaned my face and eyes with her careful fingers. And then, suddenly, the moment came that I will never forget. The nurse was working on my right eye when it began to open. It only opened a little bit, but bright light filled my head. "I can see," I cried. "I can see something."
"You can?" asked the nurse excitedly. "Are you sure?"
"Yes."
"Don't get too excited," she said. "It's not good for you."
But my right eye really could see. The next day, my other eye also opened. I lay there and felt like my life was about to start again. I could see again, and I was getting better, but I still often had terrible pain in my head. After 5 months, I left the hospital, but I still had to rest for another 4 weeks. A rich English woman called Dorothy Peel often visited the hospital, and she invited me to stay with her family in her large house in Alexandria. I was a lucky man to find this wonderful place with these kind people. I rested there for a month and got stronger for the next part of the war. Learning to fly in Nairobi. Studying maps in Habania. North Africa and the Mediterranean Sea. In the Peel's garden in Alexandria.